coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
There is a tremendous drop in hormones within a day or two of giving birth. So we had our placenta producing so much estrogen and progesterone in our body. And the moment we give birth and we birth that placenta, there's a plummet, like a thousandfold drop in hormones. Can you imagine like how much of a shock that is to the body?
Hi, everyone. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my new venture and our newest protein powder, the Pegan Shake. One of the best ways to boost your brain power is with the best nutrition. This is why Dr. Mark Hyman and I teamed up to create the perfect shake to start your morning off right and set your brain and body up for vitality and success. The shake is called the Pegan Shake, and it features a combination of grass-fed collagen, organic pumpkin, and organic pea protein powder with healthy fats from MCT oil and avocado oil, which, by the way, are great for fat burning and fueling brain power as well. A little bonus, the Pegan Shake also features organic acacia fiber, which is great for gut motility and digestion. See, this shake was created to support healthy blood sugar and healthy energy levels. In fact, one of the most common reasons for mood imbalances and brain challenges come from unbalanced blood sugar. Have you ever felt anxious, tired, and wired, and then ate something and felt better? Well, when your blood sugar goes through major fluctuations throughout the day, you literally can feel crazy. I know so many people can relate. So the Pegan Shake supports your blood sugar by feeding your body the right information from this perfect combination of macronutrients. I've been using the Pegan Shake for months, and I feel full, satisfied, satiated, focused, and most importantly, I avoid those energy slumps that come in the late afternoon too. I think you're going to love this shake. Dr. Hyman and I teamed up to make it because we literally couldn't find a shake mix that we loved. So we decided to create it ourselves. Check it out at getpharmacy.com/pegan shake. You can find the link in the show notes. That's getpharmacy, pharmacy with an F, pharmacy.com/pegan shake. Now on to today's episode. Hi, everyone. Drew Perot here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. Did you know that the postpartum hormone drop for women is considered the single largest sudden hormone change in the shortest amount of time? And it has tremendous impact on the brain? With such a dramatic drop in hormone levels, it's no surprise that 1 in 7, hear that again, 1 in 7 women struggle with postpartum depression and anxiety after giving birth. My guest on today's mini episode, two past podcast guests, Dr. Maggie Ney and Angelique Panagos, talked to us about the postpartum experience from hormonal shifts to mommy brain to postpartum depression and understanding the changes that happen in the brain during the postpartum period. Let's listen in, starting with my interview with Dr. Maggie Ney, a licensed naturopathic doctor here in Los Angeles and the founder and director of the Women's Clinic at the Akasha Center for Integrative Medicine in Santa Monica, California. Let's talk about postpartum. What is it? And when people come to see you and talk about postpartum, how do you help them navigate it big picture when it comes to their health and their life as a whole?
Absolutely. So let's start with just what's happening in the postpartum period after we have a baby. You know, most people talk about, you know, the mommy brain or postpartum brain. And that is an experience that most women, I would say everyone, experiences to some degree. And so that is characterized by feeling less mentally sharp, being more forgetful, having more short-term memory. Examples of, you know, walking into a room and not knowing why you walked in there. Where did you put your car keys? Forgetting a thought mid-thought are just things that happen postpartum. And there's a lot of different variables that contribute to that. One of which is sleep. And we can go into details, but sleep, the dramatic hormonal change that happens after you have a baby, stressors. We have so much going on at any single moment that affects our minds and our bodies. And then we have actually neurophysiological changes in the brain. So, I mean, I think that sets us up for the postpartum experience and kind of what we're going in through after pregnancy and our nutrient stores and our diet and our lifestyle. All of that plays a tremendous role. So, you know, I don't think it's a simple answer as to why some people have a really, you know, easy experience, whereas some people have a really struggle with depression. There are so many variables involved, and I think it helps to maybe go through each one.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And I think the first thing is that it's just great to see people talking about it more often, because I think that, you know, I always grew up around kids. I have so many cousins and I have a huge family. And so there was always people having babies, and we were kind of like this extended, you know, village, even though we didn't live in a village. And I can clearly remember some of my, especially older cousins or younger aunts struggling with something, but then not having a conversation about it. Like, it was taboo to talk about, or you don't go into it. I think a little bit of that's changing. People are more likely to talk about it, but there's some part that I feel in the past where society made women feel that they messed up if they're in that place. So let's even start, before we go into food and hormones, and we'll break down each category that you mentioned, let's even talk about like the mental stigma that people have, especially on this day and this special occasion, with somehow associating postpartum with some aspect that they have failed.
Yeah, it's a really good point. You know, pregnancy and having a baby is, you know, through society is the greatest joy any woman, I mean, it's expected to be the greatest joy. And in so many levels, it is. And so when a woman is not having that full joyful moment, there's judgment, and women internalize that. Like, I should be in a state of bliss right now. And family members expect you to be in a state of bliss right now. And when you're not, and it's not understood, and it's not considered a normal to have challenges, then it kind of develops a life of its own sometimes, where you go this downward spiral of what's wrong with me.
What are other people's expectations of me?
Yeah. Why
what I was so previous expectations.
Yeah, I was so excited for this, and I'm not feeling that excitement right now. And what's wrong with me? Instead of pausing and appreciating that actually it's really normal. I mean, it's very normal to have challenges, for it to be a struggle in the beginning.
Hmm. So that's the first part of it. Let's look at the other part of it. So part of the traditional approach on postpartum is let's talk about it, and then let's look at like maybe pharmaceutical ways of intervention and some other components. But in naturopathic medicine and functional medicine, it goes so much deeper. And as you mentioned, and I think this is a clear teachable lesson from the Broken Brain docuseries, you can have 100 people that all have the same quote unquote disorder, dysfunction. Let's say if you're calling it postpartum or some sort of other disease in the body like eczema or Alzheimer's, but the root causes can all be different. Firstly, let's just talk about on that category, let's pick one of those that you want to start off with, and let's help break it down and what the relationship might be to the woman and what role it plays inside of the body.
Okay, sure. Let's just start with sleep, because that's the most obvious one. I think everyone is affected by sleep when they have a newborn. And sleep in and of itself can affect the brain dramatically in just one poor night's sleep. So we know that even with just lacking one night's sleep, we're not thinking the same the next day. So our decision-making capabilities, our ability to be creative, our ability to concentrate, our ability to memorize, and memory is affected with just a single night poor sleep. And so to think about a lot of moms and dads too that have months, years of just not having adequate sleep, that affects the brain. And we also know that poor sleep can make women and men more susceptible to depression and anxiety. So you're kind of having that, you know, susceptibility already. And so our brain detoxes at night. I mean, there's so much that we do while we sleep that if we're not doing, we're just more susceptible to the challenges of life. We're less resilient. So something that wouldn't normally have been a stressor before, all of a sudden it becomes, feels bigger. So sleep is huge.
That we could make up for it later on, and we can't.
Right.
It has an impact.
Absolutely.
Right away.
Absolutely. I think hormonally, and this is huge, there is a tremendous drop in hormones within a day or two of giving birth. So we had our placenta producing so much estrogen and progesterone in our body. And the moment we give birth and we birth that placenta, there's a plummet. Like a thousandfold drop in hormones. Can you imagine like how much of a shock that is to the body? So we know that estrogen has a huge effect for the brain. Estrogen helps to increase serotonin. Estrogen helps to increase dopamine. So serotonin is our happy hormone. Dopamine helps us focus and learn. And so when that drops suddenly, we feel it. I mean, that is why the baby blues is pretty prevalent to everyone. It manifests differently, and it can certainly get more significant. And, you know, postpartum depression is sort of a category of its own because it is so significant and severe and sometimes warrants more aggressive therapies. But the whole postpartum period where, you know, that initial few weeks where it's just you're crying and just you just feel like a completely different person, often it's like this sudden drop of hormones and the tremendous effect it has in the brain.
Let's go back to some of those other categories that you broke down. There's a few that I remember, and there's probably some other ones that are there. Let's talk about the role of, I heard food and I heard community, or like food nutrition, because having a baby is such a taxing process of using the mom's reserves and everything else. Let's talk about food, and then let's talk about community and how that plays a role into it too.
Sure, yeah. I mean, your postpartum experience is sort of set up by how pregnancy is. And pregnancy is often set up by what you're doing preconception-wise. So 100% of the baby's development when they're growing inside the uterus is from mom's nutrition and nutritional stores. And having adequate nutritional stores helps moms feel good and have energy and feed their baby the nutrients they need to grow. So if you kind of come from a depleted state, you're not going to set yourself up for a good postpartum experience, which is why I think it's an amazing opportunity, if you have a chance, to set yourself up for preconception care and make sure your nutrient stores are replete and you have a healthy diet and you have the foundational pieces in place, because it will set you up for an easier pregnancy and postpartum experience.
Mm. How about community? What role does that play in the process?
I mean, that's everything, right? you know, we are increasingly living in a more isolated world right now. So especially in the postpartum period, the way it is, it's really not how we should be. Like, we should be surrounded all day, really, with a community of people when you have a baby. You know, we have our grandparents and our aunt. I mean, that was historically what happened. But now so many times, you know, the women are alone, and maybe there's people around for the first week or two, but then after that they leave. And we're really meant to do this as part of a tribe and community. So, you know, I tell people sometimes you kind of, in this day and age, you have to pay for your, sometimes, you know, you have to get that extra support in, which means, you know, having someone help you clean the house or maybe someone to watch the baby while you take a shower if, you know, you don't have that support there, which is just a new way of thinking about it. But I think it sometimes takes the guilt away. Think that you're like hiring someone to clean the house or hiring someone to watch the baby. I mean, you need that help. But for sure, we know from studies that friendship and community is so important for health and wellness and longevity. So to not have that puts a stress on someone.
And how have you navigated it in both during your pregnancies and afterwards? You
know, with regards also, to community?
Yeah, with regards to community and also being a practicing doctor and the other projects that you're up to, were the things that you've seen in your experiences that helped or were also, you know, challenging?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me was learning to accept help from friends and learning to say no. For me, those were the biggest things, but they were really big. I'm getting better at it. And I'm realizing, wow, it's like, it's dramatic not feeling like you have to say yes to everything and do everything. Where the old me, I would have. Like, these are things, saying no to things that I would have normally loved to do, like volunteer at my daughter's school. You know, I can't always do that. And I'm okay with it. It's fine. It's how it is right now. I had an experience where I was invited like a month ago to a dinner party, and I said, what can I bring? And, you know, they said a fruit salad, you know, and I was like, whoa, that felt too much. You know, I'm just saying, like, with three kids, and I was like, you know, I don't think I can bring the fruit salad. What else can I bring? I said, how about some drinks, like wine and juice for the kids? I was fine. I got it. You know, and they didn't react. They understood.
And yeah, most people are okay. It's usually our own internal story.
I mean, to say no to a fruit salad, that is something I never would have done before, but it felt too much. And it really just, for me, wow, it was a game changer. I realized that that's okay. It worked out. And I knew it took a tremendous amount of stress off my plate, because, you know, like, every minute of every day is like, it's really is busy. You don't, to, so for me, that was too much.
Hmm. Anything else that you want to talk about? Any of those categories that relate to postpartum before we move on to some of our next subjects?
Yeah, I want to talk about the brain because the brain actually changes. And
Let's talk about it. Yeah. That's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah. So that experience of, you know, forgetfulness and forgetting a word or wondering why you walked into a room or forgetting your thought, again, mid-thought, there's actually changes in the brain that's going on that I think are fascinating. So our spatial memory is affected. So absolutely our ability for short-term memory and for where we parked our car, that area shows less activity in the postpartum period. But what is fascinating, and I love this, is that there are other areas of the brain that show a lot more activity. Mm. And that's areas of the brain that are responsible for empathy and emotional connection and motivation and drive. So when we have these moments of forgetfulness, you know, it can be unnerving for women. I mean, it really does feel a little bit like mild dementia, like, oh my God, what is going on? This is not who I am. It can be unnerving. But in those moments, you know, I remind myself, I remind my patients, look at all these other areas of the brain that are growing and changing. And again, that, you know, ability to empathize and the emotional connection, those areas of the brain are changing. So,
And if you would put your philosopher hat on for a minute, do you think just like that goes back to just genetically that, you know, we all have different phases of life, and women after giving birth, it's like there's this beautiful next phase that they're in, and that might mean prioritizing certain things and not prioritizing others.
Without a doubt, our brain is reprioritizing for us. Like, we are not supposed to be editing our book right now or starting a whole new project when we have a baby. Like, that's just not what we should be doing. We need to be connecting and bonding. And so, you know, we live in a world, I'm always asking, like, you know, our bodies really haven't changed so much since the beginning of time, but our world and our life and expectations and societal expectations on us have changed. You know, what is normal and natural? And we might have an expectation that after we give birth, we should just be right back at it. But no, we need to pause and rest. And so, yes, the brain changes, I think, we can't control it. It's reprioritizing what really needs to be focused on after giving birth.
And I think there's this modern conversation, which is so beautiful, which is that, you know, women traditionally who have had the short end of the stick of expectations from just society as a whole, could that be from men, could be just from whatever the society was, some women want to immediately go back to work. Mm-hmm. Some women don't want to. And there's people in the middle that feel that they have to go in one way or another based on the expectations. Like the expectation, you hear it often, you know, go to different conferences. My friends have some amazing podcasts and they'll say like this expectation of like, you know, we should have it all. And it's like, you should have anything you want. And there are fundamental changes that are happening inside the body. So every person has to honor it for what's going on for them.
Absolutely.
And how do you help navigate people on that? When you see resistance or you see a lot of expectations that show up for the patients that you're working with, obviously part of it is like awareness, but do you refer them out to other people or modalities or books that can help them unpack some of these beliefs that sometimes are just so ingrained and old?
Well, sure. I mean, I think there are some incredible therapists that work during the postpartum period. I mean, that specialize in that period. And I think that that's key to just kind of go through what your expectations of yourself are. And why do some people, I mean, sometimes it all it takes is awareness. Like, does this make sense? Does this feel right? Well, no, it doesn't. I'm okay now. You know, but sometimes it's so deeply ingrained from somewhere, how they should be and how they should act and how they should feel. It's not coming internally, but it's coming, it's been a script written by someone else. That needs to be looked at more deeply. I'm a big believer in a lot of different modalities. So, and supporting that, you know, working at an integrative medical center. So, you know, whether it is, you know, talk therapy or somatic therapy or maybe acupuncture, physical medicine, you know, all of those modalities, depending, you know, can be really helpful during this process.
What else is important for both men and women to understand about the brain and some of the changes in postpartum?
I think it's, you know, it's to know that there is in the postpartum period in this day and age, a strong dichotomy a little bit. There is like this strong draw to the baby, without a doubt. So we talked about the brain changes that are really geared towards focusing on the baby, right? We have more oxytocin, which is a hormone that's like our love hormone, and it makes us bonded, and it's produced when we have skin-to-skin contact or when we're nursing, and it just makes us fall in love with the baby. So there's this draw towards the baby. There is the cognitive, just, wow, I always wanted a baby, and here's the baby, you know, here's my cute baby. There's that draw. We know that the empathy and all of that's going on. So there is this huge draw towards the baby, but at the same time, like, we are women and men, you know, and we are humans, and we have our own interest and our own, you know, something separate than that as well. So we have, you know, hobbies that sometimes don't get the attention they need in the beginning, or we have rituals that we have done to take care of our mind and body that sometimes can't be done in that period as well. We may want to go to the bathroom alone or take a shower uninterrupted. I mean, these are just simple things that aren't being met. So I think being aware of that and not necessarily feeling uncomfortable with those moments when you're like, I just want to take a shower, what's wrong with, you know, like, you get to just be, this is normal. I mean, just that dichotomy, that push-pull going on in the brain is completely normal.
You don't have to talk about any part of it that you don't want to, but from the raising three beautiful kids and your pregnancies, did you suffer at all from postpartum? And again, you don't have to jump into it if you don't want to. And as a practitioner, you know, did you feel like the knowledge that you had helped you through that process?
Yeah, no, I never fortunately suffered from postpartum depression. I always just felt this enormous sense of bliss and happiness with having a baby. I definitely got more emotional. Like, things would just make me cry. You know, I would read like a children's book about like a mom and daughter loving each other, and I would just cry, or I'd hear, you know, a story on the news and just cry. So that I definitely would have, but I never had the depression piece. As far as, like, you know, I will say I've had very different pregnancies, and maybe this is a little off topic, but I think it's important, very different birthing experiences. And with my first, my oldest, who's almost nine, you know, I had a home birth with a midwife, and it was beautiful and a quick, easy labor. And my second birth was in the hospital, also very quick and easy. And my third birth, I was hooked up to wires, machines, everything that I thought I didn't want to have with my first birth. It was so important to be away from that. And what I have taken from all of this is, it doesn't matter, off topic here, but it really doesn't matter, you know, where you are when you give birth. It's your mindset. You know, you could be anywhere and have a beautiful birth. You don't have to have that home birth. I remind my patients too, because, you know, some of them have this idea they want to have a home birth, and, you know, maybe the husband or the family doesn't always feel comfortable with that. You can be anywhere and have such a beautiful experience. So, for me, again, the support. I will say what I recommend for all new moms is that first 2 weeks after having a baby, you don't do anything. Like, you have nothing to do. There should be nothing on that to-do list. There should be no obligations except for being with your baby and loving, if you have other kids, loving those other kids. But there should be nothing you have to do. There should be no lunches packed, no food prep for you. I mean, those 2 weeks are sacred. Like, you'll get back to real life. Some people feel uncomfortable with that, but you'll get back to it. But those 2 weeks, really, you can maybe go for a little walk, but you don't drive. You just take that time to heal and bond and connect.
My next guest, Angelique Panagos, is a nutritional therapist and functional medicine practitioner. She completed her nutritional therapy training at the renowned Institute of Optimum Nutrition in London. Angelique runs a busy private practice specializing in hormonal health, stress management, weight management, and digestive wellness. Angelique shares her insights on women's hormonal health with an authentic and gentle perspective. As a mother herself, she has experienced the fluctuations that can be so difficult during the pregnancy and postpartum phases. And she talks to us about why the postpartum period deserves proper care and attention. Let's listen in as Angelique gracefully shares her postpartum experience with us. You've talked about on social media prior about the importance of postpartum because it was something that you suffered. I would love you to just touch on that for a little bit and talk about this period and what's important for families to know about postpartum and brain health and mental health.
Absolutely. And there's so many different components to it as well, but I feel like we don't really speak about it enough. So again, it's another thing that I just want to smash through this taboo of, I think we see it in the movies, we may see it in magazines where people have a child and 2 to 3 months later, they're skipping down the street, looking absolutely fabulous. And, you know, like they've got all this energy, they're fitting back into their genes and you just think, oh, that's how it's meant to be. It's not like that. I mean, there are a select few that are just bounce back. Everything goes absolutely perfect, but it takes a lot out of you to birth a child. And, you know, you use a lot of reserves and you're breastfeeding, you're using a lot of energy, a lot of nutrients again, and you're running on very little sleep and you are quite in a complete hormonal storm. I call it the hormonal shit storm. And it's just like everything's happening at once and you don't quite, well, I think the first 3 months were an absolute blur. I mean, I have these beautiful photos where I'm like, thank God I took so many photos, because you're just so focused on getting through the day and making sure your baby's okay and still trying to sleep and still trying to eat that it just goes in a blur. But I feel that now that I've been through it and you know, hindsight is amazing, as I've said before, I really know that we need to nourish ourselves during this period and we actually need to give ourselves some time, and you don't need to bounce back and you don't need to be looking all pristine and all dolled up all the time. You can actually stay in your PJs with your hair in a mum bun and just be in this newborn bubble.
It's such an important topic, and it was great to see how many people, I think World Mental Health Day just put a spotlight on all the important topics around mental health. But I think for women and postpartum, it's such a topic that it doesn't often as easily get as much attention as the other things that can affect mental health, because I think for a lot of women, it sort of hits them by surprise, even though it's something that a lot of people deal with, it wasn't as frequently talked about. And I see it being talked about a lot more by people like yourself, Dr. Maggie Ney, who's an incredible naturopathic doctor who we just did an interview with on postpartum. Amazing. And I want to thank you really for putting attention on it and having an honest conversation about it.
I think that I'm so pleased that I'm able to use my social media platform for those type of things as well. The day after World Mental Health Awareness Day, I posted a photo of Isabella and I, so my daughter and I, and it's a really cute photo. We're twinning in little dungaree dresses. And, you know, when you look at that photo, it's so super cute. And then these insecurities still pop in. I'm like, oh, my God, look at my mum tum. You know, I was exhausted there. You can see how tired I am. And I think that's a lot of us go through that. But we're just starting to internalize. We internalize it too much. And we need to actually speak to someone because it really affects our mental health. Mm-hmm. And another thing I just want to say, like, you need to ask for help. And don't be afraid to ask for help as well, because I was really concerned about being seen that I was complaining when Isabella was born, because I had worked so hard to get her and I'd waited so long for her, and how could I possibly now say that I'm tired? It's such a silly thing, you know, when I'm saying it out loud. And I remember once I posted on social media, I said, oh, I'm exhausted, and the comments I got back was like, oh, don't complain, it goes so fast. And I was thinking, oh God, I'm not complaining, I'm just letting you know that I'm exhausted. So I stopped.
Yeah, both can be equally true.
Yeah, exactly. I was exhausted. She was born at a really low weight. So we had to wake, well, not a rich, she was a 2.5 kg. So I had to wake her every 2 to 3 hours to eat when she was first born. I was awake all the time. When do you go to sleep? So I was tired. And, you know, I stopped saying it because I thought, oh God, maybe, you know, I shouldn't be complaining. And then my sister came to visit me one day and she looked at the mum mess that I was in and she was like, you know, you don't have to do it all. You can ask for help. And that was like the floodgate had just opened there. And I remember I called my mum. I'm like, I'm struggling to make good food. Can you make food again and we can freeze it? Because that's what you did right in the beginning. So my mum was on like cooking duties and my sister was coming around and I was taking some naps. And I know I'm really fortunate that I have them so close to me and they were able to do that. But, you know, reach out to your tribe, reach out to your friends, whoever can help during that postpartum time, because if you're not feeling your best, then you're not at your best.
So true.
And it's not a criticism at all. And it's not, you know, it's just because I've been there. I get it. I mean, I'm still there some days where I'm just like, wow, I'm so exhausted. But we have these tribes around us, you know, we have friends, we have family, and just reaching out to them and saying, I need some help. It might be hard in the beginning, but once you get used to that and you get starting to get that help, you'll see how much it helps you. And then you can be an even better mom.
Chances are that one or more of these issues impacts a woman that you know and love. There are many health topics that get swept under the rug, and postpartum depression is unfortunately one of them. If you want to combat that and bring more attention to this, send this mini episode to someone that you love. Send this mini episode to someone who's maybe not educated on this topic and what women go through during the postpartum phase. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. I'll see you next week. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.